Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
2 Chronicles chapter 36 tells me, beginning in verse 22, that God took this king that would take over that kingdom, and he stirred him up. He put a stirring in him that he could not even explain. But he was stirred to release the people of God. He was stirred to rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem, and couldn't even explain why. And we're trying to write our list of who the Lord might use in my life. Let's see, he might use John, he might use Joe, he might use Josephine. I don't know who else he use. And the Lord said, no, I got somebody you don't even know about. You're trying to figure out what I done worked out. We worry about things that are outside of our control. How crazy is that for me to worry about something outside of my control? I can plan, I can prepare, that's wisdom, but I cannot control tomorrow. So why am I worried about something that's outside of my control? It would do us all good going into a new year if we separated the things we can control from the things we can't control and stopped worrying about what we can't control. Amen? So watch this in Isaiah 45, a prophecy written 100 years before that banquet. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. Look at this, I will loose the loins of kings. That's what we read about when the man messed his pants. God didn't leave out any detail. He said, look, I'm gonna make a king messing his pants all because of you. I know that's messing some folk up, you know, but I'm just reading the Bible. He said, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and gates shall not be shut. I'm going to make a way out of no way. And that's what he did that same night that we read about in Daniel chapter 5. But what's really interesting is that Daniel, who gave the interpretation, was made third ranked in the kingdom. He was high ranking. So you can you imagine the king that had overtaken the Babylonian kingdom without even a fight, stepping in, and Daniel saying, King, let me show you something you might not know. 100 years ago, there's a prophet named Isaiah. He wrote about you by name. Here's what he said you would do. Here's how he said it would go down. And lo and behold, everything that you've just walked through, he already said 100 years ago. And that king hear the word of Daniel and say, wow, your God must be God to have written out the script before I even lived it. Let his people go. Rebuild his temple. Rebuild their city. The heart of the king was converted when he realized that the God of Daniel stood outside of time and had written the script 100 years earlier before it even happened. God will show out. God is showing out right here. He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen 100 years from now, all the way down to a man messing in his pants. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. That way, when it does happen, you'll know I stand outside of time. God is not controlled by time. He controls time. When he says something, it's done. Even when I can't see it, it's done. He calls time a curtain. The curtain don't let me see it, but it's there. Every detail of how that kingdom was going to fall, God prophesied through Isaiah 100 years before it happened. The man comes in and reads from Isaiah, and his own name is there. How he know me gonna be here now and do that? What you say? And they knew that Daniel's God was God. And he released the captives, rebuilt the temple, and rebuilt the city. And God said, here's why I did all that. See, God doesn't let something happen and then tell you about it. God tells you what's gonna happen. And then makes you live by faith. Oh! Time will make you live by faith. Time will make you live by faith. If you, listen, you cannot address the issue of delay. You cannot address the issue of time and not have faith. Faith, time will make you have faith. Time will force me to believe, because time won't let me see when I'm 22 my wife. Time won't let me see at that time our four children. Time wouldn't let me see this ministry. Time wouldn't let me see. Faith kept me when, oh my God. Faith kept me when I couldn't see it. I need some help in here. Time will force you to walk by faith. Time will force you to believe something that other people look at you and say, you're not being realistic. That's why when you walk into a department store and somebody say, may I help you? Don't say, I can't afford none of this. When they say, can I help you, just say, not now. Not now. Now ain't the time. I can't afford it now. Can't buy it now. You can't help me now. But it don't mean my day won't come. It just hadn't come yet. Faith is what I need to keep time from oppressing me. Glory to God. Well, we have to realize that when God speaks something, it's established. Time just doesn't let you see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. In John 11, thank you, darling. In John 11, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. They said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick and he's about to die. Jesus sent back word. This sickness will not end in death, but for the glory of God. Then he stayed where he was 2 more days. When he finally showed up, they met him in the driveway and said, Lord, have you been here? He purposely waited 2 more days. And when he was asked about, Lord, had you been here? He said, didn't I say? Remember what I said. When I say it, it's done. Just because you don't see it don't mean it ain't real. When I say it, it is done. When he said Lazarus would live, Lazarus was already alive, even though he lay dead in a tomb. Time just didn't let you see Lazarus alive. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got to stop treating time like it has the final answer and start treating time as a partition that just doesn't let me see something, but it doesn't mean it ain't there. Time will talk you out of stuff. Time will tell you to stop believing. Time will tell you to throw your bucket list away. Time will tell you, oh, your child's never going to be saved. Your marriage is never going to be whole. Your dreams are never going to come to pass. That's what time will say. And you look in the mirror and you see a gray hair and you think it's too late. And you look out and you see this, that, and the other. And you say, oh, man, I can't run like I used to. I don't think as quick as I used to. And time will tell you that it's over, just like it told Abraham and like it told Sarah when she laughed inside the tent door. But God looked back at Abraham and say, why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me? If I say it, you better know it's going to happen. And he said, about this time, in 9 months, you're going to know what I say is real. Quit serving time. Tell your neighbor that. Quit serving time. What if I had more time? I'm running out of time. Think how many times we say, I'm running out of time. I said, I don't need a lot of time. Woo. Look at verse 5. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou had not known me. Who is he talking to? Verse 1, he's talking about Cyrus, the man that took over the kingdom. When the man messed his pants and thought his kingdom was going to last forever, God said, I already done spoke a man by name that's going to come and do this thing, and he don't even know me. God's got a way of bringing his word to pass that we hadn't even thought of. And so we try to figure out how tomorrow in the next week is going to work out. And God looks back and laughs and said, you don't know. You didn't write the script. I wrote the script. And I've already written how it's going to go. I just need you to take me at my word. Because if you will apply faith in my word, I will plant that thing in your future. But if you won't take me at my word, I can't plant that in your future. It doesn't mean it wasn't real. It just won't be real to you because you don't believe. Oh, my heavens. When Jesus said Lazarus would live and that he would bring glory to God, he was as alive as he was dead. And to make sure they knew time doesn't change his word, Jesus said, let me stay here two more days. Let me keep Lazarus in the grave 4 days, because after 4 days, they go from weeping to lamenting. After 4 days, they believe the spirit has left the body. And after 4 days, the body is going to stink and be decomposed, and they'll know I raised him. If I come too early, they'll say he really wasn't dead. I got to come when everybody knows he's actually dead. See, God's not worried about delay. Delay doesn't mean denial. God will do it when he can get the most glory in your life. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
He said, I'm the Lord, verse 5. There's nobody else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though you didn't even know me, verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 13, I have raised him up in righteousness. I'm still referring to King Cyrus. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. That man wasn't thinking about building no city of God when he took that kingdom. And he shall let go my captives. He wasn't thinking about none of that. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Quit talking about what can happen and can't happen based on who's sitting in the White House. Quit talking about what can happen and what can't happen based who's sitting in the mayor's office. We got to stop letting the world tell us what can and cannot be done. Our God can do anything. We built this sanctuary during a recession. And I remember telling the church at that time that it might be a recession, but our God don't ever go on recess. So just say, there might be a recession, but I ain't participating. God don't participate. God dominate. God don't say, time, could you give me more? God said, I'm control time. I'll pull time back like a curtain and show you what was already there. I can do it anytime I want to. I'm God. We step into things that have always been there. He's writing the script of Cyrus's life 100 years before he showed up. And God calls Jeremiah, the prophet. And in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, what does Jeremiah do? He tells God about his age. Well, Lord, I'm but a child. How can I speak? I'm but a child. And God looked back at Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before your mama knew your daddy, I knew you, and I ordained you. I know more about you than you know about yourself. How are you, Jeremiah, going to educate me, your author? It's like somebody writing a good book, and then they make a movie out of it. And then you go to the movie, and you're like, man, I wonder what they meant by this. And you say, man, if I could only visit with the author, I could know what they were thinking when they made the scene go like this. Because don't nobody know the book like the author. Because the author is the authority. You can't even write authority without writing the word author. The author is the authority. Say it. The author is the authority. God said, I'm the author. I'm the author of everything that ever be. I am the author of it. And since I am the author of it, I am the authority of it. So you went down to the pound and you got a pet. First thing you likely did was name it. Why? You wanted to respond to you. The Bible said God made the stars and named every one of them. What's he saying? You respond to me. I'm your author. There ain't nothing outside of his jurisdiction. There ain't nothing outside of his power. He can speak to ungodly kings and they'll move on your behalf. He can speak to anything at any time and it'll move on your behalf because he's God and he's always in control. And time doesn't even faze him. So in Isaiah 46, in closing, starting in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Here's what makes him separate and different. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. I don't wait till it happens and tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. I declare the end. I do it from the beginning. And from ancient times. From ancient times, I'm going to tell you what ain't even been done yet. I'm going to tell you about a king that couldn't hold his stuff and about another king that'll take his place 100 years before it happens. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God's going to do what he said he was going to do in your life, no matter what men say, no matter what people say, no matter what circumstances say. Stop letting everybody lord over your faith. Take God at his word. Take God at his word. Walk by faith and not by sight. Man will tell you what you'll never be. Man will tell you what you'll never do, only because that man never be or never did. And misery loves company. But you don't write the destiny of my life. You are not the authority in my life because you are not the author of my life. The author of my life's name is Jesus. He got the first word and he'll have the last word in my life. Whew, glory to God. See, religious folk need to understand something. God will use somebody you said he can't use just so he can see, you can see he's God. God said, I'll take the weak things just because I like confusing mighty people. That's 1 Corinthians 2. I'm not making that up. That's biblical. God said, I'll use weak things to confuse people who think they're strong. God said, I'll take what the world calls foolish and I'll confound their wisdom. I'll do something that wasn't supposed to happen just to show folk I can do anything. Brother Jefferson, do you feel me, man? I stood about right where you are right now years ago, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me these words. I can do anything in your life you won't take credit for. I can do anything in your life that you won't take credit for. Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what God could do? We let time become Lord. We won't sow because we feel we need to save. And your harvest is asleep in your seed. God said, I don't wait till it happens and write a story about it. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it does. Verse 10. My counsel shall stand. I'm going to do all my pleasure. Verse 11 is speaking of Cyrus, the king we've been talking about. That's that ravenous bird in verse 11. He said, calling a ravenous bird from the east. That's Cyrus. That's the man that came in, took over the Babylonian kingdom and released the Jews and rebuilt the temple and the city. God said, I'm going to call a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. He ain't got no choice. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Say it again, God is in control. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. I got two more verses I'm going to quote. We can go eat some grilled chicken. Write this down. This is going to be so good right here. Psalm 16:5. Write it down. Psalm 16:5. Here's what it says. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You got it. Somebody got to hear this. Psalm 16:5, God said, I maintain your lot. What is a lot? In our culture, it'd be like flipping a coin. They cast lots to see who would get Jesus' garments, like flipping a coin. Psalm 16:5 says, God maintains my lot. In other words, you might say heads or tail, and I say heads, and the coin turn up tails, but I still be the head. I'll still be blessed. I still see the purpose of God fulfilled in my life. My lot is not in the flipping of a coin. My lot is not in the neighborhood I was born in. My lot is not in whether or not I got the scholarship or not. My lot is not based on whether or not I got the job or not. My lot is not based on what man say about me. My lot is controlled by God. He controls my destiny. He controls my future. I will not be afraid of man. I will not let time talk me out of my destiny. My life is not in the hands of the flipping of a quarter. My life is in the hands of a mighty God, who is intentional. I was standing down at CVS, minding my own business, checking out. This guy walked up to me talking about Word of God. He said, man, you sure got lucky, didn't you? In the flesh, I was ready to fight. Lucky. Lucky? Do you really think luck had anything to do with what God is doing and Word of God? Luck don't have nothing to do with my life. Luck don't have nothing to do with my family. Luck don't have nothing to do with this ministry. You know what the word luck means? It means I've been favored by luck, Lucifer. I don't need the favor of Lucifer when I've been blessed by the Almighty God. Hey! First Peter 5:6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God does everything in season. He does everything in time. He controls it. He controls it. Jaren, come over here and help me, son. I got to illustrate this. We're going to eat some chicken here. This right here, Jaren, is a curtain. If you would kind of hold this right here. All right, hold up so I can't see you. Time won't let me see. It's like a curtain. It don't mean Jaren's not there. I just can't see. Time, whenever God's ready, will be moved back like a curtain. And I'll see what was already there. Hold that curtain up here. My wife, most wonderful mother on earth, took care of this boy. the time he was an infant, he had every allergy you could imagine. Eczema all over his body. It wasn't what could he eat or what couldn't he eat, it was what could he eat. He was allergic to almost everything. It was such a struggle to go anywhere and eat because almost everything on the menu he was allergic to. This boy eats everything right now. Am I right about it? We prayed, we stood in faith. Mama did the natural, taught me how to do some of the natural while we stood on the super. One night I'm walking down the hallway to our bedroom and he was sitting under his bunk bed, in his bed, first bunk. And he's scratching himself, eczema, bleeding. He couldn't get comfortable. You could see the blood stains on his sheets. His mama did everything, stood in faith and was supernatural in trying to keep him relieved. I remember one day I sat on that bunk and I said, Lord, I would take this from him if you would give it to me. And I heard the Lord say, I already took it. His mama adapted to every season. Amen. Taught me how to do it. But when we prayed and we said, by the stripes of Jesus, Jaron Michael is healed. He was just like I see him now. Time just didn't let me see it yet. Your harvest is in your seed. But what comes in between the word seed and harvest? Seed time, harvest. Don't let time talk you out of your harvest.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.